We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A lot of thank yous for today's show. Thanks to Craig Calcaterra, who was really great talking about what's going on with the Astros and baseball overall. Thanks to Herb Lawrence and Rick Camp for their hard work on the show. Thanks to Sauce and Tram for a very entertaining half hour of them yelling at each other. That was a lot of fun. On tomorrow's show, Patrick Claibon of the NFL Network is supposed to join us. Our buddy Jason Leisure stops by the program. A good time will be had by all. And I could say the same thing for the next 4 hours of your listening pleasure. That's because the McNeil and Parkin show is going to be helmed today by Dan McNeil in the power chair and Hub Arcus. Hello, man.
Hi, Lawrence. I'm intimidated by technology. This is my first time with the new gear over here, so hopefully I don't screw it up.
It's not that bad. It's kind of the same thing as the old one. It's just not as soft. So yeah. You can still do the double tap to hold callers on, and it's just getting used to where things are.
I'll figure it out. You know, I used to be the guy people would ask how things worked around here.
That is correct.
Already, that era passed. And I know Hub is easily intimidated by technology as well.
Yeah, I have never met a computer I can't blow up or break. And the software, you do not want me anywhere near anybody's new equipment. I'm the last guy you want near.
Well, it's a good thing we put the two of you in the brand
exactly.
new studio here.
It's daycare for senior men today, and we will preside over it and talk plenty about last night's national title game. I don't watch a ton of college football anymore. I still love the game. I just don't make the time for it on Saturdays. But watching both of LSU's last two games, watching them in the semifinals against Oklahoma and again last night, man, are they deserving of being champions, and the coaching staff should be lauded and applauded, and Joe Burrow, get me some of that at the next level. I know it's said regularly when a quarterback cruises through a season like that and wins a Heisman Trophy and people throw out the term can't miss, but he sure looks like that to me.
He throws a great ball. It's a weird thing to get excited about, but like on a couple of those deep passes, you see nice tight spiral with him leading a receiver to where they need to go. The run at the end of the first half, those are big time moments. And he wasn't afraid, for a guy who didn't have a lot of playing experience.
Right,
he wasn't afraid of the moments.
Right,
and he just kind of got better as the season went on.
He absolutely checks all the boxes, guys. You know, I'd watch a little tape on him going into last night and then watching some of that. I will be very surprised if he's not the next big thing at the position. I don't see how he isn't. I will say this, though, and Dan, I guess like you a little bit, I mean, unless it's my alma mater, I don't watch as much college football as I used to, in part because I don't like 3.5, 3, 4-hour football games. And last night, the 32-minute commercial breaks, I had to leave for a while. I get that it's your big game, and I guess your big night, but it just felt like a 10-hour game, and it really ruined it for me.
It's kind of the whole season. That's what happens. And I did a whole pod on it for after the game was over, because my wife tapped out at 9:30. She's like, this is ridiculous. They're just into the third quarter.
How long was halftime? Was it 30 minutes?
It felt like it was longer than 30 minutes.
I knew it was going to be forever, so I decided to watch Platoon for a little bit because it happened to be on. And that's
nice.
A movie I could pick up at any point in the movie and watch 20 minutes. And I go back and, I've had this on for almost a half an hour. They're still in commercials. It's like, okay, I probably just missed the first possession. I go back, they're commercials again. And then one more spin through, finally kicking off the third quarter.
I'm convinced that throughout the regular season of college football, that the reason that it's not that big a deal to us is we can nap through it. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that me watching Saturday games for Alabama, for example, those games are almost as long, or watching a Pac-12 after dark game.
that kicks off at 9 and isn't over until 12:45. Like, you can fall asleep and pick it up and be like, okay, with the national championship game, you're invested. And so you're sitting there like, get on with it.
Yeah, and I was invested just a little bit financially last night just to give myself the incentive to make sure I had something about the game. And I was one of those who got the total at 66.5 and went over and made it by the half a tick. A lot of people got it at 67, some at 67.5, and they ate it. So I took LSU minus the 5. Bad day for Danny Parkins. Bad week for Danny Parkins, and Danny will be back tomorrow likely. But he takes it on the chin with his millennial football quarterback in Baltimore. Hub can spike the ball on that one today because he was on the ground floor on let's pump the brakes on Lamar Jackson. And last night, his beloved.
Are we really going to make fun of the guy who had over 500 yards of offense?
No, we're not going to make fun of him, and I think he's a great football player. That's not the issue. He is not yet an NFL passer.
I disagree with you vehemently.
Well, then you didn't watch the game Saturday.
I did
night.
Watch the game.
Lawrence, you said yesterday, Lawrence, you thought he flowed.
The entire season of it.
Well, and obviously it's my job, so I have
35 and 6.
Lawrence, I get it. How many of those were up by 2, 3, 4 scores? How many of them were jump balls? How many of them were just, teams outmanned? At the end of it, again, the kid's a great. Hey, I'm one of the 50 voters. I voted for him for MVP. I'm not dissing him. I'm telling you, he is not yet in the class of the other top NFL quarterbacks because the 3 times this year they fell behind, they got beat because he doesn't throw the football well enough to come back like that.
And I could say the same thing about Tom Brady, huh?
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Not 6 rings later.
No. I'm not talking about Tom Brady's career because we're not talking about Lamar Jackson. I'm talking about Tom Brady's 2019 season. And Tom Brady's playoff. Go back and watch that game and watch a quarterback who was consistently behind his receivers, including the play. And he made the foolish mistake at the end of the game where if he had any chance to come back in the game is to not throw a hook pattern in the middle of the field with no timeouts.
So
Lamar is not the only quarterback who's guilty of not throwing a great ball.
Good defenses make great quarterbacks look silly sometimes. And it's not an offensive league so much anymore as a lot of people like to think about. I thought Lamar Jackson was farther along than he demonstrated Saturday.
I don't think that he threw the ball well on Saturday. Until the second half. Second half, I thought he threw the ball really well.
That's exactly the point. He didn't throw the ball well in all 3 games they lost, and that's why he's not yet there.
But he also won 14 games.
Well, he how many of them did he win on his own?
How many does any quarterback win on their
own? How many games was he the difference in?
That national game, the one where.
Tell me, which one? I'll tell you, the one.
Which game was it? Was it a Thursday nighter or a Monday nighter where they scored touchdowns on their first 6 possessions? That was kind of a coming out party for him. I think it was on Thursday Night Football, but it might have been Tessitore and Boog doing the game, and that didn't get in the way of watching it. But I was marveling at him that night. But it's further along, not farther along, right?
Further is degree, farther is distance.
And I was looking for degree, and I used distance.
It's
so
fine.
You're a grammarian. Slap me whenever I do that.
No,
I don't like
totally
making mistakes.
Fine.
No, I'm a grammar Richard. I expect to get, I want the ruler across the hand when I screw something up. Or else you'll keep screwing it up, and people will, think you're stupid.
No, that's people kind of use those interchangeably now. Like, that's become...
People do, but we're broadcasters, Lawrence. We have an obligation to speak the King's English.
I mean...
Just a little bit.
Irrefutable is now a word. So, the rules are gone. The rules are all gone now,
I just want to get it right. So, we'll talk. Hub was in Green Bay. He was in the Mecca.
I saw him on the side. I pointed him out. Me and my wife were watching the game. I was like, there's Hub! It's right there on the sideline.
Well, I was on TV.
Yeah.
Did you like the Cubs hat?
Is that what you were wearing?
I caught a lot of crap for that. I forgot my hat.
I didn't notice it.
I didn't realize it was a Cubs hat.
I forgot my hat, and I got down there, and I thought, well, the headset's good enough. It wasn't that cold there. But about 10 minutes into the first quarter, and I reached in my pocket, and there was my Cubs stocking cap. And I didn't even think about it until 5 guys came up to me on the sidelines. Although I will tell you, Chris Myers Fox, great guy. I don't know if you guys have ever met Chris or worked with him.
I have.
He was the first one. He goes, I love the hat. And I looked at him and he said, the Cubs hat. I didn't realize, that's when I realized it was a Cubs hat. So, and then after that, I heard from a few people.
Whatever it takes, when you're out in the elements, if you happen to have a little extra guy, like just there, you got to put it on no matter what it is.
I mean, I've done this long enough to know better than to have any NFL team gear. You know, it doesn't matter any.
Right. Bad idea. Yes.
But, you know, like I said, it was cold. I grabbed the hat and then Chris Meyer told me I had a Cubs hat on.
Is that job easy for you, being a sideline reporter?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've been doing it for like 16 years now. So I hate to say easy because then they won't pay me. But it's fun. It can be challenging at times because we work with one. Some teams, some networks, some teams work with a guy on each sideline. Getting from side to side is interesting. You don't always get the information you should from team PR departments. Depends on who you're working with. But for the most part, yes, it's easy. It's watching football and it's being prepared. And it's making sure that you see what's happening.
Aside from injuries, though, I mean, what real insight does the sideline provide you that I can't get from an analyst?
One-on-one matchups in the trenches. Sometimes receivers that are being missed upstairs because the play-by-play guy is following the football and he doesn't see the guy who broke on the other side of the field. Sometimes just defensive schemes. One of the things that I had to let them know was when the what was it? It was in about the third quarter. Where the Seahawks went to that 6-1 that Vic Fangio created last year, and they'd gone through a series and not picked it up.
Okay.
So I, just, you know, I told the producer, and then you know they work it without any of that. Most of what I do does it's not me talking on the air.
It's
and that part
him
is
him getting the information. Yeah, to
yeah.
The booth.
It's working from the field and getting everything upstairs. It's also I mean we are not allowed to report what we hear coaches say to players or players say to each other on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
It's a network rule. But you want your guys in the booth to know that and know what's going on. So there's a lot of that we do, too.
I don't hear a ton of your work, so it's impossible for me to comment in an educated manner. But the television sideline reporters bring very little to the table.
Radio sideline reporters do a lot
I assume
more.
A quarterback is going to enthusiastically discuss a good set of downs after a team had been going three and out consecutively for three or four possessions. I assume that's going to – I don't really need some somebody to tell me that, and I can see that a guy's walking off, and his return is questionable. The video shows me. Often you don't get anything from the TV people. That's why I'm asking the question. I don't hear enough to really know.
And we actually get used a lot more than the TV people in the mm-hmm. broadcast. I mean, during a normal broadcast, I might have 8 to 10 hits. TV people might have 3 or 4. You know, they come on before the game, they come on after the half, and other than that, they don't really use them all that much. So it's a different job. I will say this though. One thing that drives me nuts with sideline, whether it's TV or radio, is when the sideline reporter needs to tell a story about a player that they talked to a week or two ago. Why is that better coming from the sideline than it is part of the broadcast?
I hear it a lot. I hear that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's just that's kind of name-dropping when you get right down to it.
You know, case in point, Hub, there was a reference at least one game after Mitch Trubisky talked about the televisions being off. The sideline reporter for the Bears telecast, and I don't remember which network or which reporter did it, was talking about that story, about turning the that story was at least a game removed from the game they were. Might have been two games removed.
Well, I'm going to defend a little bit. They may view it as maybe they were talking to a national audience who outside of Chicago didn't hear that. I agree with you. I'm not sure where it fits in the game broadcast, but I can kind of understand why that would happen. But there is some stuff I hear where, Lamar Jackson just hit Mark Andrews. And all of a sudden, Joe Schmo needs to come on and talk about. By the way, I talked to Za'Darius Smith last week, and he told me about his time in Baltimore. I'm like, what's going on?
And I want a Za'Darius Smith breakdown too, because that's one of the things you can give me from being on the sideline Sunday night. He had 2 sacks in the ball game. Which is, that's a month for Khalil Mack.
Well, get this.
I was expecting more, though.
This is the stat that floored me.
Yeah.
This from PFF, so take it for what it's worth. The Smith brothers and Kenny Clark on Sunday combined for 22 pressures and 5 sacks.
And the quarterback almost pulls off a heroic come-from-behind victory.
It's really, against really that. Amazing.
Yeah, that's getting after it. Well, that Seattle offensive line was patchworked, right?
Well, it's a bad offensive line, and you know the Seahawks are passing on every play. because, I mean, beast mode off the couch after a year and a half might be fun, but it's not a running game.
Yeah, he was and jumping so, into holes. Like, it wasn't a guy that was hitting
how
the
fat
hole.
Is he?
So, he wasn't as fat as I expected, but he is so slow. I mean,
it's not the same guy.
The Packers' defensive front was a yard and a half in the backfield while he was still coming up out of his stance. And that's why they really only used him in, you know, basically goal line short yardage. I was surprised they didn't play Travis Homer a little more.
Me too.
The kid is interesting. His problem is that the first snap he got, the first game after Carson got hurt, he put the ball on the ground, and they haven't trusted him since. But it was a great football game. I look forward to getting into it a little bit. And by the way, I will say this, though. The Packers... I still don't believe they're in the class of the Chiefs and the 49ers, but they are better than they've been given credit for over the course of this season.
Okay, we're gonna follow up on that. Lots of football. We'll get into the Astros penalties, what penalties are coming. Dan Plesac from MLB Network is going to join us in about 20 minutes and plenty. We're going to take some phone calls later today, too, during the 4 o'clock hour, things football. Yeah.
Good for you.
So I'm going to give this a try over here and see if I can see. Okay. Everybody remember Dan Jiggins? Joe is in Palos Heights. Joe, where's Joe? Is it up? See, I can't even get the thing to punch in. It's not punching in. Tanny, I can't get this phone to punch. Why is it locked up? Am I on the wrong bank?
Your name.
It's going to be one of those. All right, you guys can punch it in. Jiggs often just would hold up his fingers, right?
Yes.
He didn't want to punch it himself,
yes.
So he would just hold up two fingers to go to the caller
or
the guest.
Did you hit the number, or did you hit the...
I hit the number, yeah. Let me hit number 7 right here. There it is.
See?
Joe.
Now hit
the Joe.
X.
Hey, Joe.
Get it out of there.
Okay, there it is.
Now you're set.
Problem solved. All right, Lawrence, you have a good
fun.
Day.
I'm going to get out of here. You boys have a good time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.